Welcome to Jenny's Uncensored Pennies. I am Jennifer Marie Martinez.
And I am Adam Herrera.
And today I wanted to, I guess, elaborate or follow up on the short episode that you released, Adam, when we were talking specifically about slowing down, but it actually made me think about like occurrences in my life. And I'm sure that, you know, there are other people out there. I mean, obviously, like you spoke about it. But literally what came to mind was, remember that movie Click with Adam Sandler? Who was the wife in that?
Wasn't that, it wasn't Marissa Tomei.
It was like Knightley? No.
No.
I don't remember.
Was it Marissa Tomei?
No, it was not Marissa Tomei.
You sure?
Yeah. I think she played a vampire or something in another movie.
Oh, yeah.
Keira Knightley? No.
That's not her. Anyways.
Dang, I have it wrong. Anyway, but it was like Adam Sandler, right? We all know that comedian, goofy, whatever. And of course, he had this like beautiful wife in the movie, as he always does. But the whole point of the movie was like he somehow got a remote and he was able to essentially fast forward through the mundane. So like one of the scenes was, you know, his wife was asking him for a back rub, right? And then in real life, like we all know that whole thing where like the
Kate Beckinsale,
where partner, you know, asks the other partner like, oh, can you massage? And then it leads to sex. Right. And so they portrayed that in the movie. And so he took the remote and like fast forward through the massage and then like just kind of hit play or let it slow down for the part that he actually wanted to get to, right? So he was like, ugh, I have to do this thing to get to that thing, right? So that was like one of the things that really stood out. And then in the movie, we also saw like eventually it was like he couldn't control the remote. Like time was just going by so quickly, like throughout, and he missed so much stuff and he ended up like...
Well, yeah, at first it was like what, a couple minutes, an hour, couple days,
right?
And then it started turning into years, and then it started turning into like his kids were already like grown-ups and he was like super old
and he missed it all. He got divorced, like, yeah,
his and like life didn't turn out the way he wanted it to be, right? So like he lost touch with his kids like despised him, and like he missed, like, he had grandchildren and stuff like that. Anyways, but yeah, like he pretty much skipped everything and like he regretted not like taking his time, slowing down and you know.
Right.
It's like he regretted fast forwarding all this time.
Right. And if you never watched the movie Click, now you don't have to because Adam just gave the whole plot.
Well, if you haven't watched it, 2006, whatever.
You're not going to watch
it. That's your fault.
I don't think it's on any of the streaming things. No. But anyway, yeah. Why do people make movies, write stories like this? I'm assuming, you know, a lot of stuff is because it's like true to life. Things that happen, right, in real people's lives. And I know that I certainly, you know, it's like, I think what, last week I was like, when is the weekend coming? You know, like, geez. And then as soon as I say something like that, because yeah, everybody is working towards the weekend, but then there's stuff like between, you know, the Monday to Thursday, getting to Friday or whatever, like life is still happening in those days. And for me, like as far as the being present and slowing down, if you will, for me, like, shit, my son is 16 years old. He's a junior in high school right now. So I know, you know, I keep thinking like, this is his last summer while he's in high school. You know, these next couple months, like it's his last summer while he's in high school. And it's like, I feel this like urgency of definitely being present in those moments when, do I like getting up early so that I can get him to school still, you know, because he's not driving? Not really. But when I don't drive him to school because, you know, his dad takes him or whatever, it's his dad's turn, I miss those days of rushing to get out the door. And it's not that I missed that part, but I missed the rushing to get out of the door and into that car with my son and having a conversation before he starts school and before I start my work. Right. And I mean, especially now, my kid went from, you know, having like a speech impediment and not being able to speak very well and getting very frustrated because he couldn't communicate well, to then, you know, after speech therapy and everything, eventually like just coming into his own and having an extensive vocabulary. And I mean, shoot, that kid is pretty deep. I enjoy those conversations. And so that's something, you know, that I tell myself when I'm like, I have to hurry up and I have to do this and whatever. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. This is my reward, right? Like, it's those moments that are my reward. And so that's how I practice, like, I guess even gratitude of like doing the mundane for those special moments within the like regular days, where it's not like, because we all have that, okay, well, the holidays are coming, you're looking forward to that, you're looking forward to a trip you're going to take, you're looking forward to not having to go to work on like an office closure day or whatever, right? Like federal holiday or whatever type of thing.
Memorial Day's coming up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Not this upcoming Monday, but the
following.
Yeah, exactly. You mark your calendar right away. And so what are the moments that in those in-betweens that you really like appreciate?
Well, for me, I think working out is like, time goes really slow when I work out. You're like, but then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get this workout over because you're suffering in the meantime. But yeah, does suffering slow time down? Like, do we need to suffer more for it to just to go really slow?
To just simmer.
Just simmer and like, you know, but not like bad suffering, like good suffering. Not like, you know.
Right, because that's something like you're doing something productive.
Right.
Something good for you.
Something good for you, yeah. It's like, you know, meditation or like journaling or taking a hot shower, like taking your time, right? Those are like your me time.
Right.
And I think me time is definitely slows time down for sure.
Yeah. And I had a conversation with my therapist where she asked me like, well, what do you do for you? Like, when do you slow down or whatever? When are you still? And so I was like, oh, well, I read, right? So reading, and sure, I'm still doing something. My brain is still active or whatever, but I enjoy doing it. And so I made that part of like my night routine. So it's like, I want to have 30 minutes before bed to just read in those 30 minutes. And I do keep a pen and, you know, notepad or whatever, and I'll write down notes or what have you for things that come up while I'm reading. But, and sometimes when I'm like eating into those 30 minutes, cause maybe I got lost in social media or whatever, like some other, you know, thing that's going to turn my brain to mush, then I'm like, oh crap. Well, I still want to read. So, okay. Sometimes, or maybe, you know, I got carried away doing work. Mm-hmm. Like I was working that evening or what have you, or doing something around the house or whatever, but you know, maybe it's not 30 minutes. Maybe it's like 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes sometime, but still setting that time aside to do something that, you know, still like enriches my mind and I don't know, just makes me or helps me see like the world in a different way. That's what reading does for me. So
yeah, actually when I wake up like in the morning, I just sit there in bed and just kind of like enjoy being like that half asleep, half awake kind of thing. It's kind of like my meditation when I wake up in the morning before I go work out, and this is like at 5 in the morning. Call me crazy, but it's kind of like it gives me a chance just to kind of enjoy the morning before, like, I'm off to go work out, you know? But then, yeah, like, at night, take some time to disconnect, relax, meditate, and then usually while I'm meditating, I'll just fall asleep.
So are you meditating or are you just trying to fall asleep?
No, like, but like the meditation gets me so relaxed. Like I'm trying to like block out the noise, you know, trying to like just keep a clear mind. But in doing so, it's so like it's like working out your brain so you get exhausted. So then I just fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't do meditation. And I had this whole back and forth thing with my therapist about that.
Yeah. And I'm not like an avid practitioner. Like I try once in a while, especially when my head is just racing or like anxiety is really high. I'll do it. Or maybe in the shower. Like yeah. I'll just, you know,
yeah,
kind of close my eyes, hear the water. Listen to the water, actually. The water's actually really relaxing. I love it when it rains because you hear the water drip. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of sound. That relaxes me. But, yeah, it's really hard to, like, block out the noise and be present. I think being present, like you said, you get lost in social media. Like, you can, I call it a trap, social media trap. Mm-hmm. You can be there for an hour and be like, oh, shit, it's already...
I know.
It's already 11:30.
I'm just going to look real quick and then
no.
Next thing you know.
You're just like.
The hell?
Suckered in. And.
And for yeah, what? Like.
I know. I'm guilty of it.
And, me too. And then I'm like, damn, I could have been creating content or.
Yeah, doing something. Recording, doing something.
Productive
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah. And then so then I get, you know, kind of beat myself up. And then I'm like, well. Oh, well, you have another chance tomorrow. That's the other thing. I have another chance tomorrow to do better. And then sometimes I don't do better. And then by the time I know it, I've spent, you know, I get that alert of like, this is how much time you spent like wasting your brain. Yeah. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Bro, like, okay, so speak about that. Like companies make different apps or like different algorithms to try to like keep you off devices, but then again they're doing the opposite. Oh. Like it's like they're trying to keep you on, but they remind you, oh, maybe you should get off, but no, one more reel, one more,
yeah,
you know, one more thing. It's always one more. But
oh boy.
But anyways, yeah, social media does take a lot of my time, and it's harder for me too, because it's like in the line of work I do, I'm constantly on the computer, on a phone, and I'm surrounded by technology.
I think that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, more so now.
Right.
But yeah, like in what I do, I mean, it's hard to disconnect, especially during work. But I do after work and even before work. And but yeah, like time, you know, time can go by really fast when you're constantly consumed by the task at hand. Like from 8 a.m. you arrive at work at 8 a.m. and it's already 11. You're like, oh shit, like where did time go?
Yeah,
like it's already, wow, okay. But there are times when time is going by really slow.
Yeah,
and you're just watching the clock
and you're like, what do you mean it's only been 5 minutes?
Yeah.
What?
It's not even lunchtime or
it's
like...
About like 3 hours already.
Yeah, or like it takes forever to get to 5. Yeah. Especially in those like... How do you say the word? Sedentary or like you...
Sedentary you, when like, you're just sitting in one place?
Like you have a... Like an office space, right? Or a desk and you're there. I feel like time goes by really slow in those kind of...
When you're not moving around. Yeah, and it's... I mean, that's me. I'm at a desk unless I have like face-to-face appointments.
Or like you're out in the field or...
Right,
like,
exactly. So I get up and go or whatever. And then, yeah, I'll tell myself, well, and then of course my watch tells me like time to get up or whatever. And yeah, I'll go take laps around the building.
And I think that's why I love my job so much, is because like I get to go. Like I'm not in one place, mobile. And I mean, yeah, I have an office, right? That I can go hang out, but I mean, I'm constantly going to different schools and moving around, but then time goes by faster.
Right.
Because like I'm constantly like doing something.
Right.
So, but yeah, I take my breaks really hard. Like I lunch really hard.
Yes.
I don't work.
Translation, he goes home and takes a nap.
Yep. I go home and take a nap, or like I just put my phone on do not disturb, or but like on Wednesdays, like I have therapy. So I tell my coworkers like, hey, between this day and this time, like I'm unavailable.
Yeah.
You know, but I've been good at like setting those boundaries, I guess.
That's
taking
good.
The time for myself.
Right. And sometimes that's hard to like set that boundary when it comes to like taking that time for yourself, right? A lot of times like, oh, well, I'm in the middle. I mean, how many times have you, it hasn't happened recently, but when you would call me like after spin or something and I'm like, I'm eating dinner.
No, I know. Yeah. And that's like your time that you, I'm eating dinner, I'm watching a show. Okay. Like,
yeah.
I know that.
But I still answered the phone because I don't want to be
it's
like.
It's funny how I always catch you at that time though. Like I always, 6:30.
That's well, like and then time. It's funny too because sometimes I'm like, oh, dang, he's almost out of his class. Is he going to call me right now? I hope he doesn't call me right now.
Well, now I know.
Or like I try to hurry up and eat before or yeah. Something like just no, in case.
No. And see, don't do that. Take your time. Don't hurry up.
Okay. Or take my time preparing my meal so that yeah. Maybe, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you catch me maybe while I'm still cooking. Whatever.
Yeah. But even then, you're still loud. It's like a lot of noise in the background. Anyways, a thought came to my mind. So I feel like in different cities, different states, different countries, time is very different. Like
people's perception of time, you mean? Or?
No, just like the lifestyle.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. So, I mean, Mexico, when I think it was during my senior year, high school, I went to Mexico for about a month during the summer. And I mean, the access of technology or like people or just like in the little pueblito that I was in, like the amount of stuff that was going on, like there wasn't anything.
Right.
So like time went by really slow.
Yeah.
And it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I've never been or I wasn't accustomed to that kind of lifestyle.
Right.
But like you go to a city like LA or even here.
Yeah.
Camarillo or wherever, anywhere. Like it very fast pace.
Mm.
You're always doing something. It's like clockwork, right? You wake up, work out, go to work, get home, eat.
Yeah.
Do something and then go to sleep and do it all over again.
It's the American way.
Yeah.
You jump into the rat race.
But what about like in Texas?
And we're
like,
overstimulated. Everywhere okay, is so, overstimulated.
Well, so San Antonio, it is a big city, but mm-hmm. like I feel like
it has a hometown feel.
Yeah, the lifestyle is it's not big city feel.
Well, I don't know if it's so much the city, like the big city, whatever. I mean, it is a big city, but it's the people, right? Like. They're most of them, I'm not going to say all because we've had a lot of new people move into my hometown.
From California.
But
the Westerners.
Most of them are very friendly. We're the friendly state, right? And so yeah. Very friendly, very welcoming. And that's
hospitable.
Just, yeah, exactly. And that's just the culture. So it's like, yeah. But I mean, hello, like. I'm from there. It's hard for me to sit still, right? My sisters are pretty much the same way. And it's hard to slow down, sit still, not have that guilt of I should be doing something productive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, where does that come from? It's like you know, when we're kids.
And we feel guilty for not doing anything.
Exactly.
Or for like just watching a show
right
all day or
absolutely.
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
I talked about that in therapy a while ago. And what did I say? I was like, oh, we're being worthless bums. Me and Adam over.
You tell me that all the time.
Stop. I do not. So anymore.
Quite a few times.
I haven't done
worthless.
Stop. I say you're wasteful. That's different.
No. You're like, we're worthless.
But she was like, well, why do you have to be?
I'm sorry. I used two napkins instead of one. I'm sorry.
Why do you have to be worthless? Like, why can't you just be? Oh, what? No,
taking
I said
a break?
Worthless, lazy bums or something. And I said, yeah. And she was like, why? But why? Why is that? And it's like, okay, well, let's think about that. I mean, in my childhood, I don't know about you or anyone listening, but it was always very much like, hurry up, we gotta go. Andale, andale, we gotta go. Muevelas, 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 right? Like, move it, we gotta go. And then it was, you know, we're either gonna be late or whatever, and why aren't you ready yet? You better get ready. And if you're sitting around, it's like, oh, or the whole like, oh, you're bored? Go clean your room. There's always something to do at home. Like, go get to work. So, of course, it makes sense to then grow up and always be in a constant state of like, I gotta be doing something. I gotta get somewhere.
Well, I mean, that whole concept of being on time or like being punctual or like, well, especially in California, because fucking traffic. It feels like it gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah. The more cars there are on the streets, the more traffic there's going to be. And like, if you live in LA, like you literally live in traffic. Like,
oh yeah.
When I did my undergrad, like I had to leave at least minimum an hour before class because the 10 freeway is impossible to get through, especially in the morning.
Yeah.
It takes an hour to literally to get there and then to find parking and then you got to walk to class. Huge campus, right? So like you put all those factors in consideration and then your like anxiety level's high, your stress level's high. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like you're just constantly like overstimulated.
Yeah.
And the time
keeps going. It stops for no one.
It's not stopping for anyone. It just keeps on going. It gives me anxiety talking about it.
And it's really, I mean, like, it really is, like, the thing that you can't put a price on, right, is time. Because it's something that we cannot get back.
Yeah, we say it's valuable.
So
I don't know what that means, but it's valuable. Like, we value time, right? Like, we value it like a currency.
Well, and sometimes we take it for granted.
Yeah,
we like we were saying, too. Right? We're looking forward to this event. We're looking ahead. We're so busy looking ahead that we don't appreciate the right here, right now.
Honestly, like I wish I didn't have to sleep.
Oh.
Is that weird?
What are you going to be doing not sleeping?
I could be doing something.
Like what? Everybody else is sleeping. What are you going to be doing?
Well, okay.
Maybe I don't want to know. Gross.
No, not no. Okay, so well, I don't know. Like, I wish. Maybe I should live in Alaska where it's daytime all the time, where there's only 4 hours of dark, right? But you have 20 hours of like light, which is pretty cool. But
science says
I know people have to sleep. I know, but I'm just saying like. That's what I'm where I'm trying to get at is like time.
No right? Time. There's never any time.
Like you have more. I wish there was more time in the day. You know, stuff like that.
Well, more like, time in the day that you're.
Like, why can't we add an extra day on the calendar?
But okay, but you also have to be like you feel good and motivated and whatever. Because I gotta tell you, during lockdown, I did not want the days to be longer. I'd wake up and I'd be like, fuck, 10 hours until I go to sleep again.
What do I do? Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, especially during the winter, the days are shorter. Like, yeah.
And right now?
That's just depressing and it's cold as fuck right now. We're in California, people.
Yeah.
These are Californian.
It's not always sunny in California.
No. We definitely have May gray. Hopefully we'll get June. Hopefully we don't get June gloom, but I'm sure we will. And then July and August, it gets hot as balls.
And September.
And then we wish it were winter. It's a
dumb
never-ending cycle.
Never
see,
happy.
See, we wish always time would pass forward to winter.
Yep, exactly. And Mother we're not appreciative effort of that right here, right now. I know.
But, like, okay, so I recorded today another short one.
That'll come out after this episode.
We're not going to announce it, but...
You had that time.
I did have that time because I took the day off.
Right. Because usually it's like, when are we going to record? We have to do it here. We have to do it there.
Yeah, you have to fit it in somewhere and you have to like...
Excuse me?
Shut up. yeah. It's... And I mean, so I kind of talked about that like the last couple months. It felt like... Time went a little bit slower, but because I didn't know what the outcome would be.
You're like dreading something.
In the future. Exactly. Dreading some suffering.
Right. The suffering.
Makes time go slower. Dude, what the fuck is up with suffering? God, man. Do you people suffer? What do you guys suffer from? Does it feel like you've suffered forever?
I think they're suffering right now.
Yeah.
Listening to me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I just felt like the last couple of months, it was rough. It was stressful, anxious, a lot of unknown. Like the unknown is like something you dread.
Absolutely. And that's in any situation, I feel like. I mean, I know hearing you talk about that, like for me, I had a conversation again with Jacob, my son, who's 16, you know, getting older and all of that. And I had a conversation with him about how, and I probably said this in one of the episodes before, but how like, as he's getting older, you know, that's life. My job is to help him, to prepare him for like the world, right? And teach him things that turns out to be like a decent human being and maybe like, has a good outlook on what the world is really like and what have you. And it's hard knowing that the time is getting closer that I'm going to have to let go. And it's not going to be up to me to help him make good choices or whatever. And hopefully he calls on to me, right? When he's living under a different roof or whatever. And he's comfortable enough to call to me and tell me about whatever choice that he either made and is upset with or hasn't made yet, doesn't know what to do or whatever, right? And that's very hard for me. And when he was at a younger age, so as a small child, it was really hard, right? That we talk about like the tough times. Shoot, starting school, getting into the habit of doing homework, whatever, like getting home, dogs barking like crazy, you know, Jacob's got homework, I've got to do dinner, whatever. And it was hard. Like it was just really, really hard to manage all of those things. And I would be like, gosh, like, when is it going to get easier? When is this going to get easier? When is he not going to need me so much? And the irony is that here he is not needing me as much. And that's hard. Mm. And so I look back on the times when I'm like, oh, God, you know, like times when I'm trying to teach these like hard lessons of like when it's time to go, it's time to go. You know, like we can't stay at the park. We can't live here. We can't live here. We got to go. And he's throwing a freaking tantrum. Mm. You know, like moments like that seemed like that was like hours of trying to get him in the stinking car. You know, and then it's like, now he's all grown.
Suffering again.
Yeah, it was. But looking back on those quote unquote suffering moments, I'm like, shit. It's like the country song says, you're going to miss this. Like, you're going to miss those hard times because he's never going to be a little child again. We're never going to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That moment, the day when I said, like, what's okay if I didn't? No, the day when I said, like, oh, well, we only had 10 minutes to read the bedtime story. Like, it's always tomorrow. Like, we're not going to get that. We're not going to get that back. You know, I missed that other 10 minutes. And so you add those up and it's like, how much time did I actually miss?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. We can go into a whole thing.
It kind of sounds like regretting. I mean, I don't regret like the time I've spent so far on this world. And
what? How did you get? How did you come? Well,
no, because like I feel like it's what I'm trying to say is like for the times that I missed, like it kind of sounds like you're talking about missed opportunities of time you should have spent.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying that you regret them, regret not having that time back.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm getting at is like I try not to regret like the times that I think about way back when that I should have spent, like the time, you know, right before my grandma had her
annual. You gotta go there.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Like time spent. I'm telling you, man, like that shit comes up a lot. And it came up in therapy. Like, you know, times I should have spent with my grandma, you know, right. I wish I would have spent more time.
Right.
Right. Or you wish I would have spent more time with another one that a loved one that passed away.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that always comes to mind. I know I didn't want this to get too dark, but I mean, it has to be talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And to try to lighten it, because my son is still here. My son is still here, thank the Lord. It's just you know, okay, I shouldn't have, I could have been spending time with my kid doing this instead of, you know, going out with some idiot. I think about that, you know? But then I'm also like, well, okay, I can't be that hard on myself. I have to give myself a little bit of grace because the time that I did spend with my kid, I mean, shoot, not to toot my own horn, but my kid's pretty great. And again, for being a 16-year-old boy, that kid is really insightful. I mean, just he is very observant and he understands like so many things. And it's just confirmation of like the work that I have in, like, this sounds crazy, but like the work that I put into him, right? Like building our relationship and teaching him like about communication and even relationships. I mean, I see how passionate he is and how caring he is, like, you know, towards his friends and when things occur with them and the way he talks to me about like, you know, wanting to protect them or what have you. And to me, I'm just like in awe because they, you know what I mean? Like I'm just blown away. And so then looking back, my whole thing is like, yeah, he's never going to be that little boy again. And sure, maybe like I could have spent more time or I, it was like, there was this whole period, this child would not go to sleep. I was already in elementary school, but he would not go to sleep. We had to do a bedtime story and I couldn't leave the room. Like I had to lay down with him for him to fall asleep. And sometimes I would fall asleep first or I'd fall asleep there and then I'd wake up in the morning like, damn it, I didn't make it to my bed, you know, stuff like that. But am I ever going to really like sleep in that little bed with him again? Like probably not. You know what I mean? But just like to have this little boy like cuddle up next to me, like that big boy over there, and I'm pointing at Jacob, you know, he's never gonna be that little boy like stroking my face and me being like, oh, can you just stop touching me? And he's like, but mommy, I love you. And then I'm all, okay, well, can you just wash your hands?
Gross.
My gosh, all sticky and gross. I know, but you know, he's never going to have those little bitty hands.
Yeah.
Okay, better than talking about our dead grandmothers. But, and even with, you know, thinking about like my grandma, and yeah, I think about that too. Like, shit, you know, I wasted this time that I could have spent with her, but then, you know, gotta like focus on like, well, look at the time that I did have and what did I learn from that, and how am I honoring her and keeping her alive?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in essence, because mm-hmm. we carry them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Jacob again, he's still here, but I carry him with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he carries me with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, and that's never going to go away.
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about?
No, this is real talk though, right?
Yeah, real people, real talk.
This is real shit that people, I think, constantly talk about. Like, time is going by so fast. The weekend's already here. Mid-year's already here.
Yeah.
2024 is already here. COVID was 4 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, it's like, I don't know. The more we talk about it, the more faster it goes.
Oh, so I just heard this thing, how like even our birthday, right? How that like messes us up, because it's like you're not just looking forward, you know, oh, my birthday's coming up or whatever. But what's the thought that comes to your head when your birthday comes around?
40's almost here.
Okay, 40's almost here. So you're getting older, right? Mm-hmm. But even in thinking that and speaking it, you're already telling your body, I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
So like every cell in your body is feeling that, like hearing that, to like manifesting that essentially, right? So perhaps we should look at birthdays as like in gratitude, right? Like, oh, wow, I made it to this age. Look at what I've done. Look at the things that I'm still going to do. Like, look at what I have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the whole I'm getting older, I feel like that's a very small part. Yes, it weighs heavy, but also you do, like you're saying, you do try to focus on the positives. Oh, look what I've accomplished this year. And I look forward to accomplishing these things next year, or like my next, after, you know, when I'm this age,
right,
or by the time I'm 40 or 50, whatever it may be. Keep on setting goals for yourself, trying to improve your well-being, keep your health, you know, keep in check with yourself. I think those are things that, I guess, lighten the load, or like, right, you know, like the thought of,
instead of focusing on the number.
Yeah. You focus on the positive side of, you know, we're getting older, but we're also smarter, well off, more knowledgeable, more experienced in this world. Like we've grown, you know.
Yeah.
There are a lot more positive than there are negatives. Yes, it's very easy to dwell on the negative, but then again, like you said, it's mindset.
Yeah, because, well, and then like you said, right, like, oh, if you say, oh, by the time I'm this age, I want to do that. So I will say that I spent many birthdays in my younger years with that mindset of like, oh, I thought I was going to do this by this age, or do that, or have this, or whatever. And I would get really depressed. So then I wouldn't set like goals.
Well, I thought I was going to be married by the age of 24.
And look at you now.
Have a kid and have a house and everything. Look at me now.
You need to make like $300,000 a year.
Shit. Fuck. Yeah, bro, like, real talk. This is shit, bro.
How are people having kids these days?
Well, apparently you can make $300,000 being superintendent and being in meetings all day. That's all you have to do.
Jesus.
But
what did you do to get there? I don't want to do those things.
Be corrupt. Get a PhD and be corrupt.
Kiss ass.
There you go. And be like,
I can't do that.
Shit.
I can't do that.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to get fired.
I can't be fake. I can't play, quote unquote, play the game.
Shit. No. Yeah. Well, you got to. I hate that expression, fake it till you make it. I fucking hate it. That's such a random thought, but like what you're talking about.
Fake it for survival.
Fake it for survival. Yeah. Fake it till you make it. Fake survival. I think those are the same thing.
Well, the way that I fake things, because I don't like to fake things. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
In my 20s, I would fake stuff and then, you know, work out to my best interest. It never does, people. Mm-mm. Don't let people think that they're okay or whatever when they're really not. So now I just kind of, you know, just do my best to keep things cordial, and you'll know when I'm really uncomfortable, when I just like stop talking. I was like, oh, yep.
When she gets quiet, then you should be scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, trust me, you don't want me to talk right now because you're not gonna like what I have to say. So
all right, well, moving forward, what are some things that we can do to slow down time, or like slow life in general? What do you think?
Maybe practicing just more gratitude. Like, maybe if it's hard on the daily, maybe weekly, to even be, you know, just think back on the previous days and think about like the moments where, you know, good things happened or things that brought you joy. And when you're in those moments of joy, to just like simmer in it, right? Like just be still, take it all in.
Be silent, be still.
Be still. Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I know that even like I could be driving, and I've probably said this before, but I could be driving and whether I'm by myself, but I especially love it when I'm with Jacob, and I'm sure I've done it with you too, where, you know, we're driving and I like make it a point to just look at the, like at the horizon, if you will. Right. Mm-hmm. And fortunately we do live in California and there are mountains and lots of times good gorgeous sunsets where you do see, you know, as a kid, you'd sing that song. What was it?
Wheels
Mountains, Purple Majesty, or whatever. And I can't think of the way the melody goes right now. And so I remember as a kid, like I would sing that song. I didn't know what it meant. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I was like, that's what that song is talking about.
Mind blown.
The Purple Majesty. And it's literally like the mountains look purple and the sun is just like glowing or whatever. And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free.
Yeah. Right?
Like you can look for free.
It's literally free being present.
Yeah. And it doesn't cost you anything.
And but living in the moment, like appreciating.
Well, I guess the only thing that it costs you is just sitting still for that moment.
Right.
Or, you know, just noticing
and gas
to noticing that moment. But you know, it's just something like that, and just pointing out like, wow, I'm so fortunate that I can see. I have eyes that work with glasses, you know. Yeah. But that I can see, that I'm able to see this majestic whatever it is.
But like even sound.
Right.
Like roll down the window and you can hear like the ocean, or you can hear just the wind.
Or birds.
Birds.
I mean, sometimes it's annoying when you're trying to go to sleep and the birds, but but in the morning when it's time to get up.
Dude, especially when I lived with my dad, that freaking tree outside with all the crows every morning. They're so loud. Anyways, but I mean.
The cute small birds.
To someone else, that could be very soothing.
Right.
Or it could be like, oh, I love that sound, you know.
I love crows.
Said no one ever. They probably own Imperius, whoever loves them. No offense to anyone that loves Imperius. I'm gonna get canceled. Fuck it.
It's okay, we never started.
Yeah. No, but I think being present, being more present, and like you said, driving, like that's one of my forms of meditation, putting music on.
Oh, I'm scared, people.
What do you mean?
There's Adam zoned out.
Right? No. Honestly, I know.
We already heard he falls asleep.
Shoot. There's been one time where I was close. But anyways, that's a different story. No, like driving is a form of like meditation or just kind of like zoning out to music or like you said, the sights, like a sunset in the morning. In the morning now that, you know, the sun's up earlier, like you can see the sunrise.
The morning glow.
It's really cool. But yeah, and like you said, gratitude, appreciating more of the things that you have in your environment, in your life, the people, the beauty in nature, and also like, you know, taking more time to appreciate yourself.
Yeah.
Your health, your mentality. Yeah. And I think setting goals is very important. Setting goals for yourself, you know, short term, long term, whatever it may be. I think it obviously gives you something to look forward to, but also it kind of, I don't know, it sets you up to, you know, better your situation, better yourself, better others around you, so you can be better for others.
Yeah, I will say though that a lot of times I feel like the word goal can be pretty loaded, because then it's like this huge expectation, right, that you're setting forth. So I don't know. It sounds like a task.
But that's based on perception. It doesn't have to be.
Right. No, I understand. And isn't really a better word for a goal other than a goal. I mean, we could call it a you know, topic. I don't know. I don't know, like something you want to achieve or whatever.
Milestone? No.
I don't know. But anyway, something that, like, thinking about goals or whatever, and earlier when we were talking about when the suffering, right, the silent time slows down, right, when you're suffering or whatever. And a lot of times we feel like we're suffering when things are really challenging, or we're like a problem, when we're facing a problem. And so I read this book, which I absolutely love, which is called, sorry if you hear all this shuffling, but it's Self-Care for Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. It's a really long title. Honor Your Emotions, Nurture Yourself, and Live with Confidence. And there's a lot of great just tips really for life in general in this book. And there's this one section specifically on how to approach problems. And so basically, it made me think of something that I want to do and practice in myself. I'm going to challenge myself to, whenever I see a big issue, a problem coming ahead, instead of being like the, ugh, right? Like, no, no, I'm going to
dread it. Yeah.
I'm going to enter the suffering, is to just remember that, just think about the outcome that I want, like from the problem, right? Like, how do I want this to turn out? So whether it's like facing an issue with a person, like, if a some sort of conflict comes up with somebody, it's like, well, how do I want this relationship, and like take steps to move towards that outcome? And the same thing, like, you know, with an actual problem that doesn't involve another person, but maybe, you know, whatever happens, like just trying to focus on and challenge myself to see how calm and positive I can remain, like, throughout that problem. So kind of like, I don't know, maybe thinking of it as like a game. of like, how can I approach this calmly and positively to work towards the outcome that I want, and just focusing. Cool.
You have to practice.
Right.
It's like a game.
Focusing on the outcome rather than the issue. And then that's where we talk about, like, right, we're always looking forward and not sitting in the here and now. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in the suffering, right? So when something hard is coming our way, like, we do have to think about past. We have to look past that problem and, again, focus on the outcome. Not to speed the time up, quote unquote, but to actually take steps forward.
Work towards it.
Right. And work through it. Through that issue.
Interesting.
Sorry, that took me a little bit too.
No, I like that. No. Shut up. It only took you like 2 minutes. Relax.
Oh my God. And I was like paraphrasing.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. And you're like pretty far in the book
too. Oh, I already finished this book.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I'm halfway through another book, but I really like this book a lot. And I was supposed to send it to my sisters, but I'm going to have to order them their own copies because.
Can you repeat the title again?
It is called Self-Care for Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. And it is by Lindsay C. Gibson.
Honor Your Emotions.
Yeah, Honor Your Emotions, Nurture Yourself, and Live with Confidence.
Very cool. How much was it?
I was gifted this. I put it on my wish list. Oh,
dang. All right.
From Amazon, but it's available on Amazon. That's all.
She has OnlyFans, guys.
Stop. I wish. I wish. But so this was a follow-up. I read the, I guess it's the original book. I don't know, but it's Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. And it was like how to heal. I have that other book that I also read, and it was a phenomenal book, and it has a lot of, not quizzes, but it didn't remind me of, like, you know, the magazines, whether it was like Red Book magazine, which they don't make anymore, or like Cosmopolitan, and they'd have like those quizzes right in there. So it was like quizzes like that, sort of, not really quizzes, but things to measure, if you will, just characteristics that your parents or your caregivers, whoever raised you, had. And then you can see like how emotionally mature they are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really mind-opening for me and made a lot of sense. So yeah, but this doesn't so much go into that. I think like anybody, it would be good for anybody.
I think what would be great is if you like, so what's your website again? What's the website?
It is like my name. So Genuine, Jennuine, lifecoaching.com.
Cool. And I think it would be great to like post links, the books you recommend, like affiliate links, and that can also help support our podcast, website. I think it'd be great. I mean,
yeah.
Post your favorite books that you recommend.
Yeah, I have a couple, well, Brené Brown books on there, I believe, but I haven't put that one yet because I hadn't read it yet, so.
Okay. And maybe, like, give your, like, little 2 cents about it, mm-hmm. or we can maybe do a short about a book that you probably want. I don't know. Just some ideas in the future.
So now we're brainstorming on this episode.
Yeah.
About future episodes.
We also brainstorm on our podcast.
Yeah. Chime in and tell us what you think about that idea.
And also, I also said this in my most recent short. Please feel free to reach out to us. Like, we would like to hear comments, your feedback. Also, if you'd like to join in our podcast, maybe you work in the social services, or like you just have a topic that you really want to talk about. I mean, we have a way of bringing you in on the podcast and we could just have a chat. I know it's kind of nerve-wracking to, you know, hear your voice, be on video, you know, be on a podcast, but trust me, like, you know, we'll make it as comfortable as possible and, you know, just people talking. But yes, you can reach me at at DJ Adam Herrera. And where can they reach you, Jennifer?
On Instagram at Jenny's_pennies. You can also send me a text at 805-312-9116. And yeah, like Adam said, reach out. I mean, we say this every episode and it's not like those empty, you know, like, oh, we should do this again sometime. And then we never do, or you don't ever see that person ever again or what have you. Like, we mean it. Like, we want to hear from you and we appreciate it when we do hear from you. So yeah, I think.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
All so. Right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate you guys. And we'll.
Yeah. Okay. Until next time, please always remember your voice matters. You are capable. You are lovable. You are deserving. You are enough.
Peace, y'all.